Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Come away and rest. Some of you are doing that, aren't you, this week? Some of you are visiting this beautiful place so that you can have a rest. Those of us who are here year-round, when we hear the words, come away and rest, we say, yeah, in November. When all the folks leave, all the tourists leave, then we will come away and have our rest. That's why it's so important on Sundays, even for just an hour, where we have some rest. But if you nod your heads and go to sleep, I won't be happy. I'm talking about a different kind of rest. And those of you who have busy lives, you know that when you go away to rest, sometimes rest does not come. Because we all have cell phones and we all have computers, and the clamoring need maybe of family back home or something in your community follows you, or maybe it's just your own clock that cannot stop. I remember going on vacations to beautiful places like this, and it took me 3 days before I could unwind and actually relax. And sometimes those problems and those concerns followed me wherever I was. It's awfully hard to come away and rest. And what do you do when the problems follow you? Now, Jesus did not have Twitter or Facebook or instant messaging, but the problems always followed him. And at the opening of this story today, we see him talking to his disciples. They've been on a mission trip, and they've been very active, and they come back to report into Jesus, and there's no time to even get a meal. Everyone's crushing and pressing in around them. So Jesus says, come away. Let's get out of here. Let's go rest. And none of the disciples say, you know, I have another report to file before I go. Or I have another errand to run. No, they all piled in the boat. Yes, let's get away from here where we can have some peace of mind and some rest. And so they go off on the Sea of Galilee and they reach their destination only to find that everybody's gotten there ahead of them. There's no rest for the weary. And so Jesus gets off the boat, and he has a choice to make, and it's a choice we all have to make. When clamoring need comes to us, we can do one of three things. We can ignore it, but usually when there's a need in our family, especially, it's hard to ignore. We can meet the need and then be very resentful. And unfortunately, I think that's where I fall in. I don't think any of you have that problem. But you ever get that where you're bone tired and then there's another need and you meet it, but you meet it with gritted teeth? Or there's the third way. Jesus' way was when he got off and he sees all these people. The Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were sheep without a shepherd. He saw people who were lost and in such great need. And so from the bottom of his heart, from his very being, he felt such compassion for them that instead of sending them away and saying, I'm exhausted, leave me alone, said the Bible says he taught them. Now, I thought that was very interesting. It doesn't say he went in their homes and fixed all their problems. It said he sat down and taught them. What a gift teaching is for people. Because what teaching does is give people guidelines, give them some guidance, give them some direction. And we teach in so many ways. It's not only in a classroom setting that things get taught. And one of the things that we need to do when there's clamoring need is to teach. When I'm walking on the road and somebody invariably will stop because I guess I look like I know where I'm going now, and they'll say, do you know where some place is? And usually I know and I can give them directions. I don't get in the car and drive them, but I give them the direction that they need. And this is a gift that we can give to those who are in need, is to teach. I had a wonderful friend in my last church who worked for the state of Maryland, and he worked as an employment counselor. Now, he had some really difficult physical issues. This man was a diabetic, and he was having eye problems, so he went for laser surgery. And the laser surgery effectively blinded him. So here he is trying to do a job, and he can barely see. He bought himself a screen to put over his computer screen, and I remember seeing it one time, and I can tell you the letters were at least this big. And this is how he had to operate. So life became very difficult for him. I remember going to a conference with him, and he kept walking in back of me. And I'd say, you know, Clarence, join me. But he kept walking in back, and then I realized he couldn't see where he was going, so he'd walk in back so that he wouldn't get lost. And one time at the conference, he said he followed some people, and they weren't part of the conference, and he ended up blocks away, and he didn't know where he was. So this is a man who had a rough, rough time. And I had people in my congregation who were in desperate need, who were immigrants and could not negotiate the system, especially employment. Some of them had all their paperwork together and some did not. And they all needed jobs. And I would say, Clarence, I have a project for you. And I'd send these people over to Clarence. And even with all his disabilities, Clarence found the right paperwork and jobs for every single person I sent. Clarence died a young man because of his diabetes overtook him. But everybody that he took care of are still working today and are homeowners and are taking care of their family and have college graduates in their homes. He saw the clamoring need, and he could have said, Pastor, I can't do anymore. But he met the need because he saw people who were lost who didn't have shepherding, and he taught them and he helped them. Later on in this story, Jesus again tries to escape. You know, he kept trying. So he goes in the boat, and he goes to another place. And the Bible says that when he got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region, this time bringing the sick on mats, wherever they heard he was going to be. And what I thought was interesting is they laid the sick, wherever he went, in the marketplaces. Now, this is where people do business. Can you imagine if you walked into the Piggly Wiggly and there were sick people laying in all the aisles moaning? That's what this was. Or in our pretty gift shops, there were sick people hanging out, people with the flu hanging out. And of course they did this because in those days, a simple infection, you could lose a limb or lose your life. And here's a chance to be healed. So they brought all the sick where they knew he was going to be, and they disrupted all the businesses so that they could be healed. When there's clamoring need, there's a need for us to be healers, to be the people who are the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, we in our church are marking time with a dear friend of ours, and most of you know her, but those who are visitors might not. Her name is Sue, and Sue has been struggling with cancer for 2.5 years, and they told her that there was nothing more that could be done. And she said, well, I accept that, and I'm going to go home to die. And she said, and I hope it doesn't last too long. And she said, and I really hope I'm not as long as Dad. He was 10 days. I think we've gone over 10 days. And somebody said to her recently, Sue, this must be awfully frustrating for you. And she said, you don't know the half of it. Said, I just want to cha-cha-cha right off this mortal land. And she waits. And we as her church become the hands of healing, because we have magnificent cooks in our church. and they've been bringing food. And I've been watching as the food marches in. Sometimes they don't even get it out of the dishes. I saw one time a whole plate of cookies come in, and they were pulled right out. And I see the family light up, and I think, what a blessing that has been, because that's one less thing to worry about. We can't cure our dear sister. If we could, we would. But what we can do is be the hands and feet of Jesus while she waits. And one of the things that Sue has appreciated so much, this is a woman that would have been out doing. If she were on her feet, anyone in need here would have had a visit from Sue with something, because she was the one that arranged for everybody to be taken care of. And I'm able to say every time I sit with her, you know, Sue, we've taken care of everything. What a blessing. When there's clamoring need, we can be healers. Now, we might not be doctors who can cure, but we can be healers with our food. We can be healers with our presence. We can be healers with our prayer. We can be healers with our love and concern. We can be healers with a well-placed hug. We can heal. Everyone who touched him was healed that day. There are times that we desperately need to go away and rest. And I hope that you who are here visiting can find that needed rest. But when clamoring need comes on us and we just can't rest because there's a need out there, let us have the eyes of Jesus, who saw people not as intrusions or interruptions, but as people who needed a shepherd. And he loved them and took care of them, just as he loves and takes care of us today. So this week, whatever we do, let us seek to be the eyes, the hands, and the feet of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that we can be your hands and feet, that whenever we see a need, you can give us the words to teach or the hands to heal. And so we ask that this week, those of us who have come to this place to rest will find that needed rest. And those of us who are working and laboring in this place will find not only rest in you, but the energy to meet every need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.